Hey everyone, I am N. Taylor Mullen, and I am on the ASP.NET team. I'm a software engineer there. I've been there for about 3.5 years now. And today I'm going to be talking to you about ASP.NET Core 1.0 Advanced Tag Helpers. So tag helpers have been something that are really near and dear to my heart. I've been working with them for, a long time now, since all the renames that we did with ASP.NET Core. And there's something I really love. So for this talk, this is, of course, an advanced tag helpers talk. So if you're not that familiar with tag helpers, I would definitely recommend kind of going back, checking out some of the other videos maybe I have done, someone else have done, and checking out introduction to tag helpers. There's a lot of videos out there. There's a lot of blog posts out there. Just a lot of resources in general. I'm a firm believer of just getting your hands dirty and writing code, learning through code. So we're just gonna hop right over to Visual Studio. So today I am going to be using Visual Studio 2015. This is pre-release bits, so hopefully everything goes all right. We're looking to get this out to everyone else in the general public as soon as possible. We'll be using the new ASP.NET Core tooling parts of Visual Studio. So we're going to do file new project. So file new project. And we're going to be using the starter application, this kind of template that everyone's really used to. Not much has changed since the old world. If you've seen some of the other ASP.NET Core talks, there's a lot here that is really cool, a lot of stuff to learn. But more specifically, we're going to be talking about tag helpers. So let's run this and see kind of what this looks like. So we have our home page with all of our wonderful links on how to learn more about ASP.NET Core. We have our about page, our contact page, register, and then login. Pretty simple. I have made a few adjustments just to kind of make the talk go a little smoother, but for the most part, this is just file new web application, nothing different. So when you get your hands on this, you can do the same. And that's kind of the goal here. Through this talk, I hope that people can then follow along once they have this tooling or just want to watch, that's fine too. All right, so let's look at the layout page, the thing that drives every single one of these pages. So this is the basic overall template where we have our header with our environment tags. These say if we're in the development environment, run this, production, run this. Again, if this is new to you, I highly recommend going back and looking at some of the older talks that I have done. I go over a lot of this. And we have our partials, we have our headers. So this stuff represents all of the header stuff up here and even the footers. We have, lastly, our script tags, all the things that make up the JavaScript in our page. So today's talk is going to be oriented around creating one really advanced tag helper. Well, actually, it's going to be a set of tag helpers that work together. And we're going to be trying to enable something that we deal with every single day when we write a new web application. So we'll be in the development environment, so we're going to be concerned with these tags right here. And we see this pattern where you try and include your main JavaScript, so in this case, site.js, and then you have to include all the dependencies for it. Now, this is kind of a bummer because you have to know that site.js depends on jQuery. It depends on Bootstrap. Now, there's been things done to solve this problem with JavaScript, and this is done via React. So if I jump over to the React homepage and I go to their start, I can actually see that there are some really nice samples over here that allow you to just type require JS and kind of define what other JavaScript files are dependencies. What would happen if we could do this on the server with tag helpers? So this is one of the things that tag helpers makes possible. It allows you to run C# code on an HTML element, in this case, a script tag. So if we can harvest this source tag, or the source link, we can then read this file, figure out its dependencies, and then have it expand into these two. So by the end of this talk, I'd love to be able to just have that. Just have site.js. Because if we can just have this and we can figure out all the dependencies, well, it means we have a lot less wiring up code. So let's first create a tag helper that represents something that targets a script tag. So I'm going to do this in my tag helpers folder. I created this. You don't have to have tag helpers in this tag helpers folder, but for me, it's something that I prefer to do because it's a nice way to organize it. And we're going to make a script tracker tag helper. And this is the default Visual Studio template. So right now we're overriding the convention targeting. So by convention, this would have targeted script-tracker. And with this, it's overriding. It's saying it's tag-name. We don't want to do that. So we're going to say we want to target a script tag. Now, one thing new in this pre-release tooling is that if I build, so I can see in the bottom left corner here, that build started, once this completes, I'm actually going to get IntelliSense in my page. So I saw these guys light up. It was pretty convenient. And I do want to note that I have gone ahead and added the add tag helper star advanced tag helpers. So one thing that's really nice here, I've done this, you can do that too for your own. And keep in mind that this advanced tag helpers is your assembly name, not your namespace, but your assembly name. Okay, so we now have our script tracker tag helper running on all these elements. And our next step is to say, well, if I can read this JavaScript file, I need a way how to find out its dependencies. So let's open up that site.js. So it's in JS, site.js. So there's nothing here today. So now Visual Studio provides a really great way to get IntelliSense in JavaScript. So let's make the assumption that our site.js depends on jQuery. Well, if I type dollar dot, I don't get any IntelliSense. Visual Studio does not know this needs jQuery. But there's a nice little way to do this. You can add a reference tag here where you can say in my, actually I'll open this up over here, okay. So in my www root folder, tilde slash www root, slash JS, slash site dot, oh, actually this, we're trying to do our jQuery. So actually lib jQuery dist, kind of going down this path. We'll do www root lib jQuery dist jQuery.js. And once Visual Studio has pulled this down, it should give me IntelliSense for this file, which means I can just go down here, type dollar dot, and get all that awesome IntelliSense that we were lacking before. Now, this is really convenient when writing JavaScript, but it's also really convenient when trying to write a tag helper that harvests dependencies. So in this case, if we can read this site.js file and harvest these reference tags, we can find out what they depend on, meaning I depend on jQuery, so add a script tag that references jQuery automatically for me. So let's do that. So we obviously need our source tag. So if I actually jump back over to the layout page, I can see that the source tells me site.js. So let's bind that. So do props string source. I'm going to be binding this, and it's very important to make the differentiation that this is much different than writing output.attributes source.value. And the reason why it's different is when you bind an attribute with public string source or whatever your attribute may be, you're saying, give me the raw value of whatever was entered. So if I were to go over here and if I were to do at some URL, whatever some URL evaluated to would have been encoded by default. If I had anything that needed to be encoded, it would be. Now, this would have gotten the encoded value, and this does not give you the encoded value. It leaves it up to the tag helper author to determine if something is encoded or if it's not. All right, so we have our script tag, or we have our source. Next, we need some sort of file provider to access files from our www root. So let's add a constructor and let's pull our iHosting environment in from the dependency injection store. So by doing this, we're going to be able to have access to this www root file provider, which we need in order to access our JavaScript files. So web root file provider is equal to env.web root file provider. And this is a nice little trick here. If you type out the variable name beforehand without declaring it, you get this little light bulb which lets you generate a new custom field. Something I like to do a lot, it's convenient, makes life really easy. So we have our web root file provider, which means we can get the file info for our source. So I'll do file info is equal to file provider dot get file info, and I'll pass in my source. Now this isn't going to work as we expect. Now we're going to run this and we're going to see why. So this source is going to have the value from here, right? So let's look, go to script tracker tag helper, and when this breakpoint hits after the page is being run, I'm going to see that the file info does not exist. So if I hover over this, I see that it doesn't exist. So if I look at the physical path that it's trying to load, I see a problem, tilde slash lib. This tilde slash flowed through to my tag helper. So this is kind of one of the unfortunate parts about binding an attribute. It means that you are taking control over its value, meaning you need to be the one to resolve that tilde slash. So in a normal Razor page, that would typically be done with @url.content tilde slash some URL. That's how it would typically be done. So we need to do this, but we need to do it inside of our tag helper. So I could tell that this URL is iURL helper, which we can actually get access to in our tag helper. So I'll go back over here, and I need to take in a few other things from the DI container. So I'll do iURL helper factory, URL helper factory, and I'm going to minimize this for now just to save on screen real estate. I'm going to do our nice little trick again. URL helper factory is equal to this, and I'm going to generate that read-only field. So we now have a factory. We're going to try and create a URL helper. It's not going to work quite yet. And it looks like it needs an action context. So we can do this by injecting our view context. And that's done by adding a property with the view context type that has the attribute view context. All right, so pass in the view context here. And we now have a URL helper that will allow us to do exactly what we were doing in the Razor page. So resolved source is equal to URL helper dot content, and we'll just pass in source. So we're now resolving that tilde slash. And to kind of give a little bit of background knowledge, this tilde slash, the reason why it's important is if you were to host your site off of slash my custom path. So for instance, if I jump back over here, if I were to have hosted this off of slash my custom path, and then what would then happen is that your controllers would then be referenced by slash home, slash index, slash about, and so forth. That tilde slash would actually expand into this. It would expand into my custom path. So it's really good to use tilde slashes, and when you're writing a tag helper, it's good to make sure that you can handle values that are like that. So if you're ever writing a tag helper that has some sort of linking mechanism, support tilde slash with the iURL helper. All right, so I'm gonna run this one more time just to validate that we are actually running our resolving our correct source. So I would expect to see that our file info did exist, and I would expect to see that it was finding the correct file path on disk so we could then read that. So if I look here, I see file info does exist, and it's finding the correct file path. There's no more tilde slash there. Pretty awesome. Okay, next step. We need to read each line of the site.js in order to figure out what it depends on. So I'll go over here and I will insert a little snippet. I've created a few snippets just to make things a little easier. So I'll do read site and here we go. So what's happening? Well, I'll rename this. So what's happening? Well, we're creating a read stream from that file info. We are using a stream reader to then read that stream. This allows us to read the file line by line. So as long as we can read a line, aka it does not equal null, that means we haven't reached the end. And as long as that line starts with this, let's consider it a dependency. And we're interested in all the contents in between the start marker and the end marker. So with line.substring, we should be able to just pull our dependency source. And then this piece right here is saying, well, I know there's this www root inconsistency. So if I look at this, this path is slightly different than this path. And the big difference, And the big difference being there is no www root here. So we can normalize that in our tag helper, and that is what this is doing. You can actually resolve what this directory name is, and later on when I show you where this code is hosted, I have done that in that repository, and you can see how that's done. So lastly, we're going to be posting the resolved dependency as part of our post element content. By doing this, we can verify that what we're doing is actually working. So I'm going to go ahead and run this guy. And it should pop up here over in an edge. And we should see at the very bottom of the page our tilde slash jQuery.js after our site. So if I actually zoom in here, the bottom, I can see it there. But more specifically, if I do view source, I can see this guy at the very bottom. All right, right there. Fun stuff. Okay, so we're getting our tilde slash stuff fantastically. Okay, so I'm gonna hop back over to Visual Studio real quickly, and let's think about this. In Site.js, we can harvest the fact that it depends on jQuery. But what would happen if this depended on some other file? Let's say in this case, if this depended on dependency.js that also referenced jQuery, but in turn referenced something else. So that would look like www.root js slash dependency.js. Well, I would know it references jQuery, I would know it references dependency, but I would never know what dependency.js referenced. So we need to make a little change to our script in order to enable that. And this is going to have to be recursive. So when we figure out the dependency for our site.js, we need to do the same logic to figure out what dependency.js does. So let's track this knowledge by creating a new class. We're going to create something called a script context. So I'll do add new class here, script context. And this is going to have two properties on it. First is going to be the source. So think of this as like a script tag, the source of the script tag. Next, our script tag will be able to have a number of dependencies. Each of those dependencies will be additional script tags, so additional script contexts. So we'll call this dependencies. So we could think of this being site.js, and then two entries, one for jQuery, one for dependency.js, each of which have their own set of dependencies. Okay, so we now have this. Let's refactor this method out into its own method. We'll call it public script context get script context, which will take in a string source. And if I copy and paste this here, I'll update this. I now need to return a new script context. So I happen to know that my source is the resolved source. But I don't know my dependencies quite yet, but we've done most of the work. So let's do that real quickly. Dependencies equal to new list. List script context. And then we'll do var dependency script context. And here's where the recursion comes in. Get script context, resolve dependency source. So if it works for site.js, it should be able to work for any sub-dependencies as well, which is nice. Which means we can just do dependencies.add dependency script context. Convenient. And lastly, set this. So we're now recursing through our site.js file, figuring out all of its dependencies and its dependencies, dependencies, and so forth. So this script context should be able to just grab it by doing our script context is equal to get, and we'll pass in the current source. So this represents the tree of dependencies that we have. Now, since this is recursive, we also need to render them recursively. I've made another little snippet for this, so I'll do render scripts. And what's going on here? So it takes in a context, it takes in the content to write it out to, and it takes in rendered scripts. So let's poke through this. We dive through the dependencies saying render the deepest dependency first, because we want to follow the dependencies all the way down to the leaf node, right? So the very last dependency, the thing that has no other dependencies, should be rendered first. So in this case, this could be jQuery.js, this could be bootstrap.js. Rendered scripts. So in the case of site.js, we have jQuery here, and we have jQuery here. We don't want to render the same thing twice, so we'll say if we are able to add this source target, then render the script tag, otherwise, don't bother. So let's render this. Render script context. We'll pass in the script context that we found out. And let's render this as the post element. And I'll create my rendered scripts hash set string. Okay. So one last thing. This script context is saying that it knows what my dependencies are and what I am. So this is the first script context will have its source set to site.js, meaning we don't want the tag helper output to render the current script tag. Otherwise, we would get duplicates. So I'll do suppress output. This will prevent the tag helper output from rendering itself, but this will then allow the post element content to render instead. All right, so let's run this. I'll delete this breakpoint for now. Okay. So if I go over here, we're going to be able to see, I'll actually open F12 early here. Let's look at the script tags. All right. Let's do right click, view source, and all the way at the bottom here. I see that my site.js looks like it depended on dependency, which depended on Bootstrap, which depended on jQuery. Our script is working. This is pretty awesome. However, there is one kind of problem here. If I see this jQuery, this is coming in because if I go back to my layout, I still have my jQuery.js and my Bootstrap.js. Now, I could potentially remove these now and all would be fine. But let's make this work. As far as our script tracker is concerned, it's rendering everything correctly. But we can fix this by delegating the rendering of this script tag to a parent. So let's say we made a body tag helper that harvested all the script tags in its body. In this case, it saw this script tag, it saw this one, and it saw this one. And it decided what the final dependency chain looked like and rendered it one time. Let's do that. So I'm going to create a body tag helper. Add new item. I'll do the razor tag helper right here. Do body tag helper. We like the fact that it's targeting body by default. And we're going to take this rendering scripts method and reuse it here because now the body is the one responsible for rendering. And we want to essentially collect all the scripts on the page. So we want a list of script contexts. List of script context. So the next question is, how can I communicate this script context down to the children? So any script tag helpers running should be able to add themselves to this list. So how can we do that? This is where tag helper context comes in. So tag helper context has a thing called items on it. And this is a dictionary of object to object. So I can just do type of body tag helper. I'll use the type as the key. And then I'll set it equal to script contexts. I can then forcefully execute the children. So I'll do async task, process async. And I can execute the children by doing await output.getChildContentAsync. So I'm adding something to my items collection. I'm then executing all my children, which means after this, I should be able to look at that collection to see what exists. Let's go back over to our script tracker to make sure it's adding script contexts to that items array. So they're no longer rendering themselves. I'll delete that. And instead of rendering, we are just going to do context.items. We'll do the same key as what was done before. We'll say script context is equal to, I'll cast this because remember this is object to object. So list of script context. And then I'll do script contexts.add. So I'm now adding each script tag. So this is going to run for every script tag on the page. It's going to run once for this, once for this, once for this, and so forth. Meaning we should see three entries. So the body tag helper over here should see three entries at this point. And just to validate that this is happening, let's go ahead and hit a breakpoint here. I would expect to see one for site.js, one for jQuery.js, and one for bootstrap.js. Now, each of them will have their own dependencies, of course, but we can at least validate that they are being populated. All right, so we see one key. Key is our body tag helper with three different items here. So we have our first, which is jQuery, second, Bootstrap, third, which is site, exactly what we wanted and which has its own dependencies. Kind of convenient. All right, so now that we have all of our script contexts, let's go ahead and render them. So just like before, we're going to have our rendered, well, actually, I have a little thing here. We'll do call rendered scripts. We're going to create a new hash set for the rendered scripts, and instead of rendering it only once, we're just going to iterate over the script contexts and render them one at a time. This isn't perfect, but as far as the demo is concerned, it's lightweight, it's quick, it's simple, and this gets the job done, at least for what we're looking for. So I'm going to go over here to layout, and I am going to actually, you know what, let's run this. Let's validate that this runs and works. Before, we were looking at jQuery.js being spit out two times. This time, we're hoping it only ever gets spit out once, and same with Bootstrap. So I'll right-click View Source. I should be able to hop down to the bottom here. And as we see here, we only have one jQuery, one Bootstrap, and one dependency. And of course, site.js. We have now made our page smarter. So it's almost required JS on the server. It's pretty fancy, which means we should also be able to do that. Very little wire up included. And let's just refresh this page, do another view source here, just to validate that the same thing is occurring. And it is. Pretty nice. So this, for the most part, works. However, there's one problem. If I click on login, it's actually going to crash. And the reason why is it's not recognizing that there is an entry listed as type of body tag helper. So why is this happening? So if I jump over and I look at the login, and I jump and I scroll down here, I see that it's trying to render scripts in the script section. And it's doing that via a partial. So I'll open up that partial. It's just adding more script tags. Now the problem here is that tag helper context.items does not flow to other views. That's not its job. So over here in layout, I see this render body. Anything in render body will not see tag helper context.items. So I need to use something else. Thankfully, we have something that is perfect for this job, and that's viewContext.viewData, or viewData if you're on the Razor page. So I'll go back over to my script tracker. And instead of using context.items, I'm going to use viewContext.viewData. And this is a string to object dictionary, so I'll just do full name here. And back in my body tag helper, I'll do the same, but I first need to inject the view context. And then instead of context.items, do the same exact thing. ViewContext.viewData.fullname. So we are now using view data to communicate down to children the current list of script contexts. So I will run this guy. And I should now be able to see the login page and the register page work correctly, as well as the home page. So everything should be in working order. So I see here, I'm on my home, about, contact, register, and login. It's all working as expected now. And I can even go one step further, do view source, and we can look at those extra script tags being rendered. And we see the jQuery validation and unobtrusive validation and so forth. Pretty convenient. Now, if you noticed as I was going through this, there was one kind of missing link here to kind of finish this all off. So back on my homepage, close this guy out. Back on my homepage, if I looked at the source here, I see that my site.js is /js/site.js. Now, originally, there was some sort of number following this link. So what was doing that was this ASP-append version true. And this is because we have two tag helpers running on the script tag. If I hover over this, I see there's the script tracker tag helper, as well as MVC's script tag helper. So there's two running here. One that is expanding the source tag into all of its various components that we just wrote. And the other one, understanding this append version and adding some sort of number here. So I happen to know why this is occurring, and this can be a little misleading and one of the more difficult parts of tag helper development, but definitely not impossible, something to keep in mind, is that the script tag helper from MVC is running first. And when it runs first, it is putting essentially the script tag on output.attributes source, which means we should be able to do tag helper attribute, source attribute, if there happens to be something here. Try get attribute, we'll do source. Then we're going to just reset our source tag. Now this is kind of important because what we're saying here is we want to work well with other tag helpers. And by working well with other tag helpers, you allow yourself to build something on a single tag. We allow us to work on the script tag without obstructing other things. So we're now replacing our source tag. So I'll run this and it's not going to work right away, but we'll find out. We'll find out why. We're most of the way there. Over here, and we're going to see it actually explode. It's not going to work. We're going to get an error. And we see here the slash JS site.js does not exist. So what's happening is it can't create this, it can't create the read stream for this file. And the reason why is the file doesn't exist. It's trying to look for a file with this long bit on top of it. This is an HTTP mechanic. It's not a file system mechanic. So we need to strip off that query string. So let's do that. All right, so we will do var query string start index is equal to resolved source.index of, and we'll just do this. Next, we'll have a new file info source specific to this. Set it to resolved source. Move this up. So if this happens to exist, well, we'll simply strip it off. We'll say file info source is equal to file info source substring 0 all the way up until we see that query string. And I can just pass this in over here. So our file info source will never have that question mark and then values associated with it. But the resolved source in our script context will. Okay, so I'm going to run this and then we're going to see this occur. We should be able to have a fully functioning script tracking, script injecting, required JS-like thing that runs on the server via tag helpers. Pretty awesome. So view source. I'll scroll down here to the bottom. And I see that my site.js has that query string. We're now working with other tag helpers, something that's really important to do when writing your own. And more importantly, we've just built a component of our application that will make all of our future development experiences much easier. So to finish things off, here is the site which exists for this code. I have put it on github.com/ntaylormullen/c9_ASP.NET Core_advanced tag helpers. Feel free to check that out there. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can get in touch at twitter.com/ntaylormullen. Tweet me, favorite me. I am very active and I love to hear what customers think. I hope you're having a great time at Build and happy coding. Hope this helped.